today you forgot your spark, by any means, bring them into the office sometime this week. And I believe we're going to take them that Christ is there for them, even in a world that they may not know our Lord Jesus Christ, even in a world that they may not know what or who God is. May they be blessed, O Lord, to receive these gifts, that they can understand that people around the world will love them and want to share their heart with them. As we just sang, shine out our heart, Lord, for others in this world. So we ask that you bless these boxes and the children that receive them. And we thank you for those who have put them together. May your name be honored and glorified. It is in this name we pray. Amen. And as we come to our morning prayer, we want to remember all our vets that have gone before us, those that are still with us, and those that are serving, and remembering that others will come behind to serve the United States of America. We want to remember those that have been in this last mass shooting, lifting those that have died and praying for their families, and remembering those that have been shot. You know, you wonder what this world is coming to and what is going to happen next. May we give this to God and ask that this be stopped in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may find peace. And tomorrow morning, the bishop and 146 others of us are headed to the Holy Land. And so I am one of those. I ask for your prayers and the travel as we travel with our bishop. We will be gone until the day before Thanksgiving. My husband is not going. He's going to stay home and take care of cats. But as we are apart from each other, as we are away from the church, many churches, I pray that you will ask a blessing on us as we go to grow closer to God and to learn and to just walk the walk that Jesus Christ walked. I am so excited and can't wait to come back and share with you. But we also pray for safe travel as we're there and for those that we leave behind. Please know that there are many pastors in our zone that are on call. If there is an emergency, please call Mary. She has the list of numbers, and she will be able to connect with several pastors. So there is a pastor on call. Let us now go to our Lord in prayer. Oh, gracious and loving God, what a beautiful day that you have given to us. A day that we can celebrate with our vets on the actual day. To be able to hear the children sing to them and to all of us. And to remember that this day is special. It's a day that we always celebrate on Sunday. Coming forth and having the opportunity to remember who you are and whose we are, Lord. And for the thankfulness of giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us salvation, who gives us forgiveness and grace and mercy and abundant love. How much more can we thank you? Lord, we pray for those that have lost their lives, not only vets, but in the shootings and just here in a normal, regular day of life. That you be with families to bring them peace that passes all understanding and comfort as they mourn the loss of their loved ones and continue the journey of life. We pray, Lord, for the trip to Holy Land tomorrow, that each one of us will be safe in coming and going, that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit as we walk where Jesus walked. And that our churches will be blessed even as we're gone. They will continue to hold the ministries of the churches at hand. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for all that you do for our lives, for healing hands upon those who are ill. For those who face surgery, we pray, Lord, that you will bring discernment and wisdom to doctors and nurses, caretakers, to give them strength and healing that they can be truly touched by your presence and by your healing hand, and to bring them forth with quick recoveries. Lord God, we pray for this church and the churches in our community and throughout the world, that we may share the good news that Jesus Christ is alive. He is in us and with us and through us. And that we do not need to be afraid, for he is in control. And he loves each and every one of us. So, Lord, we give you our lives, we give you our church and ministries in this world, and we ask that you bless each and every one. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Just one more reminder that is in your bulletin that this afternoon at 3 o'clock, we are blessing all of those who are lay servants and commissioning them. And you are invited. And so I hope that you will come and support our lay servants who are in our church and those that are in our district as we commission them at 3 o'clock. Now I turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, reading verses 28 to 34. Hear these words. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked, Of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to them, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. And now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. You know, Jesus was headed into Jerusalem, and the religious leaders enjoyed asking him questions, but I'm not sure how much they really wanted to know as much as they wanted to trip Jesus up. so that they could take him and crucify him. But on this particular question, Jesus once again tells them what is known to us as the greatest commandments: to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Sometimes I felt like I could just close my book and say, amen, it's the end of the story. But I know you want to listen to hear a few more of these words, right? Michelle. So the greatest commandments. What does it mean to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might and strength? So I thought about these four words. I believe God is trying to tell us through Jesus Christ that we should love God with our whole being, every part of us. You know, sometimes we can have head knowledge and it's not be in our heart that we know we're supposed to do something, right? But we don't always put it together with our heart. I don't feel it. I know it, but I don't feel it. We need to have our heart put in that place where we desire to do what Jesus Christ wants us to do. It's really like being the marks of Christian leadership or being a Christian. We need to aim for the target that we give all of ourselves to Jesus Christ, our Lord and God, our Father. Amen? So if we have the knowledge, but we're not putting it together with our heart, we are not developing our Christian morality to be able to love God with all our might, with all our insides, our soul. This last week, I was at the Board of Ordained Ministries, and we interviewed candidates that would come before us. First of all, they've written a lot of paperwork, asking them theology questions, asking them about their churches and all of the things, and then interviewing them and asking them, because, you know, some people write well, some people speak well, some people do both well, and some people don't. And so we interviewed them to see, how is it with your soul? And do you know your theology, and do you speak your theology? Can you lead a church in your knowledge of God the Father, of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, the three in one? And they have to answer us, and then we give them a yes or a no or a not yet, thinking that some really are getting it, but they're not quite there yet. And so it was a difficult week because we had to discern on people's lives. But all of us should be always discerning how we are as Christians. Are we living that Christian life? Do we know who God is to us? Do we know who Jesus Christ is to us? Who is the Holy Spirit to us? We have to have an understanding of who we are as United Methodist. I believe that's part of this key, is to know and to understand so that we can live a life that is what God desires for us, His will. But if we do not know it, then how can we fully follow the commandment to love with our heart, mind, soul, and strength? Correct? So we need to know where our soul is. Do we know that God is here with us? Do we understand that Jesus Christ has given us the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us in our Christian life, and that we are to follow Him with all of our might, all of our knowledge, all of our understanding? We are to give God our all. our hearts, our minds, our soul, our strength. How do we have strength to be able to live in this commandment that God has given to us? Some of us may feel weak, others may feel strong, but is that what they're talking about? With all of our being, all of our soul, mind, strength. For me, this says that we are to be able to put aside the evil that's in the world. We're to put aside all the things that we know that we are not supposed to do. Gossip, adultery, all those other commandments, do not kill, etc., etc. Do we have the power in ourselves? In other words, the strength in ourselves to turn away the evil of the world so that we can follow the good news of Jesus Christ. To me, that's what he's saying in his words. Do you have the strength to stand up and stand firm for what you believe? Will you stand up to the bullies in the world? Will you stand up to our government, maybe in writing letters if we need to say, we need gun control. We don't want abortion. Whatever the topic may be, do we stand up for what we believe? Do we have that power inside of us to do what is right and not follow the way of evil? Do we have that strength inside of us? So how is it with your mind? Do you have the knowledge of theology? How is it with your soul? Is your soul in place where you know that you will follow Jesus no matter what? Maybe even giving your life up for someone else? Your strength to be able to stand up. And to me, they listed this one first, and I think it's almost the most important. Our hearts. Does our mind connect with our hearts? Because if it doesn't, will we follow what we know? Will we do what we think we should be doing? Our hearts are what Jesus Christ sees and what he wants others to see in us. Into my heart. Do you remember that song we just sang a little bit ago? Into my heart. We want all of that theology. We want all of the wisdom that God has given us. We want all of his guidance. We want everything to come into our hearts so that then we can shine out and others can see that we are Christian and we're not afraid to stand up and say, I am a Christian. I am proud to be a daughter of Jesus Christ or a son of Jesus Christ. Putting our heart in the forefront to be able to say, this is what I know I need to do. I need to follow Jesus Christ. Amen? What is your heart telling you? What is your mind telling you? What is your soul, the conscious of your being, saying, I need to do this? We ask our candidates, pastors that are coming up in the line, to be the next step. Some were associate members and some to become ordained elders. And they have to do what we call a fruitfulness project. They have to show initiative in starting a project, how it works all the way through. Did you get others to go all the way through with you? And was it successful or not? Whether we agreed or disagreed with the subject was moot. It was whether they did it or not. And if they did not succeed, that wasn't a point against them. We wanted them to be able to try and do a ministry whether it failed or not failed. To be able to know, this is what I think would be good. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But we can't be afraid of trying this particular issue. So one person said they'd like to see where people that come to church be connected to adult ministry that would then connect them to the outside world in mission and outreach. A lot of us come to church and then we go home. We don't have the building of the rest of the pieces of ministry. And I thought this was such a wonderful idea. And some people disagreed and some people agreed, and it's okay, it doesn't matter. But is it not important for people to have that knowledge and understanding? And how do you get that knowledge and understanding if you're not in a Christian education type of piece? That means not just sitting here in the pews on Sunday, but coming and doing a Bible study or a small group learning. Bonding with others even more so than we do at worship. And then once you have that, then you can go and do missions and outreach and other programs. Well, we know that some people might come through the church because they love to do missions and they do this mission project, yet they have not really come and joined the church. For example, maybe somebody in our community enjoys working with the rescue mission, but maybe they're not a part of a particular church. And so as we work with rescue mission and get involved and get to know them, then possibly they would know excuse me, who we are, whose we are. And then they might, from the mission, be able to come in and be a part of the church. And maybe from being in part of the church, and because of their mission experience, want to do more and learn more about Jesus Christ and become a piece of Christian education. Some people may be invited to a Bible study. Would you like to come to a Bible study? We're going to have it during Advent. It's going to start on a Tuesday after Thanksgiving at 11 o'clock, and we'd love to have you come. And you've personally invited someone, and they come to a Bible study to learn how to get closer to God during an Advent season. It's short, it's sweet, non-threatening. And so maybe they do this process of coming to a Bible study, but maybe they're not engaged in worship or in a mission. But once they come and learn more about God, more about our Lord Jesus Christ, more about the power of the Holy Spirit, then they want to come to church, to be a part of the church, and maybe through that study, they also may want to come in and do mission outreach work. So it's really important to have aspects of all three. This should be a normal path in any and every church, right? That we offer these things. But sometimes we don't fully participate in all three. Now, I want to say this very delicately. Do you need all three pieces to come to God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? I'm going to let you answer that yourself. But we need to know that we come in a wholeness, W-H-O-L-E-ness, as well as holy, H-O-L-Y, to be able to come to God. We need to have our minds, our souls, our strength. And what am I missing? Soul. Heart, mind, soul, strength. To be well grounded. And then the second commandment is what? Love thy neighbor, love others as yourself. Now, to love someone else as your neighbor doesn't mean that you love them in any other way except agape. Agape love is a way that you don't expect anything in return. You love them because they are God's children. So we love God with our whole being, and now we're going to turn and love another person. It's not just a neighbor that you live by, but it's the neighbors that are in your community. Love your community. Love the people around you. You don't need to expect anything in return. It's in a type of agape love that you just want to show them God's love and God's grace and know that they are His children. Is that easy to do? Absolutely not. I got to share something with you that my husband and I laugh about because I just, okay. Went into Walmart one day, started to come out of Walmart one day. You know, there's an inner sign and there's an exit sign. Did you all know that? My husband's like, I've never paid any attention. I'm coming out the exit sign and there's a man wanting to enter and he does not move. And so I go home and I'm a little like, oh, this guy would not move out of my way. There's nobody at the entrance way. He's at the exit way. I'm trying to go out and I'm getting a little steamed. Was I very Christian? Absolutely not. I needed to love that guy just like I love the people that I love. And it wasn't easy on that particular day. It's not always easy, folks. But if we're going to truly love God with all of our being and we're going to love our neighbors, we need to set that aside. And I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself. But I have to laugh. I just want to go in the inner side. Really? We still laugh about it. It was like a month ago, Get rid of it. Love. You don't need to have anything in return. Should have loved that guy and just let him in. I'll move out of your way. Let him in. Because he's God's child. You are God's child. And so many of us are so human. Are we not? We are so human that we want things our way. Is that being whole? Is that being holy? That's what these commandments mean. And again, when I preach, folks, I may have one finger pointing at you, but I got three pointing back at me. May we all work together on this that we can uphold these two commandments and truly love our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we love our neighbor and children of the world that we don't even know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you gave us Jesus Christ to forgive us. May we ask for that forgiveness, and Lord, may we try to remember each and every day that we need to work on it, to be a better Christian, and to follow the greatest commandments that you have given to us, that we may be Christ-like to all who see us, but especially to you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. Will our ushers please come forward? Please stand as able. Lord, we give you thanks for all that you have given to us. We praise your name and ask that you bless these gifts, that they may be used for the kingdom of God here on earth. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We continue to stand for our closing song, Lead On, O Cloud of Presence, 2234. Our Lord Jesus Christ, with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And now may you leave with his peace and his love in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thank you.